This evening, look with me, please, in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse number 21, but let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've given us instruction in your word so perfectly, infallibly, without error. You've given us instruction on everything we need to know about. We really do believe that your word, inspired of God, is the universal encyclopedia of human experience. We'll never find a subject you don't deal with in principle, in practice, and oftentimes you show us examples of people who loved and understood and obeyed your word, or people who rebelled against you. Now we're praying, Heavenly Father, as we start off with just a very simple thought this evening about the importance of encouraging one another. And we ask you to teach us and help us to be obedient. Help us have sweet, teachable hearts. Help me turn the cup up the right direction so you can fill it up. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This first text we're looking at here, we're not going to focus on fathers this evening. We will be talking about that a lot during these meetings. And you fellows that are bringing the messages, I want to give you a list of suggested themes or topics or texts that you might consider preaching about all during the month of February. But here we have the situation where fathers can behave in such a manner, so inconsistent, making their children angry by the way they deal with them, so that the children are discouraged. That's an interesting word, isn't it? That word is so good for us to look up in dictionaries where words come from. And if you read in a Greek dictionary, the New Testament, you'll find that the word is called or described as being disheartened. And I've underlined the word heart in this word because that's exactly the definition of this word. If a lot of our words are Greek words in English, a lot of our words are Latin words, and they come from other words as well. In fact, the word paradise, I think it's one of the most interesting words in the Bible. The word paradise is a very ancient Persian word that means an enclosed garden. What does that make you think about? The Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Very, very old word, thousands of years old. Well, this word discouraged, this is the word for heart. And here it is here, when they define it, they use a word that has heart in it. In fact, if any of you have learned Spanish, Joanna's learned some Spanish, Simeon, India, you've learned Spanish, what does the word corazón mean? Heart. It has that C-O-R sound in it. And so we're interested in this word, discouraged. Discouraged. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, be careful how you deal with your children so you don't discourage them. Now, we're not thinking about it being wrong to discourage wrong behavior. It's discouraging them in doing the things God has told them to do and the way God leads them and what God's word says that we're supposed to do. We need to remember that our treatment of others can discourage them from doing what God asks us to do or tells us to do. I want you to turn in the Old Testament to the book of Numbers. And it's such an interesting chapter because this is the chapter that has that important verse in it that all of you have heard. And I don't know if you know the location for this verse, but Numbers 32. Please turn to Numbers 32. And I want you to look at verse 23. Now, that's a really easy reference, isn't it? Isn't that what we call a palindrome? That it reads the same direction from the front, it reads from the back. Isn't that what we call a palindrome? Joy, you're supposed to know this word. All right, 32:23, Numbers 32 and verse 23 reads this way. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And this is what we all know, the part we know. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now, is there a verse in the New Testament that says something like that? Does it say, how does it say there in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7? Be not deceived, for whatsoever that shall he also reap. Be sure your sin will find you out. It's Old Testament and New Testament. So there in chapter 32, follow with me from verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. This is on the east side of the Jordan, before they crossed into the promised land. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elealeh and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. So here is a request made of Moses. There's actually a half-tribe included with that, the half-tribe of Manasseh. So you had Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh said, let us receive our inheritance on the east side of the Jordan River, so that we do not need to go across to the other side to have an inheritance. And that'll actually mean there's more land for everybody else over there. We've got grasslands over here. We've got cattle. We've got sheep. We want this land here. But I notice that Moses replies to them in these verses. You'll notice in verse 6 and 7, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? And that is the sin that he refers to in verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. What is the sin? It is the sin of discouraging someone from doing what God has instructed them to do. Moses said, if you stay here on the east side of the Jordan and you withhold your help, your support, you don't go to war alongside your brethren, you will discourage their hearts. So he offers a reply with reproof. Now we need to keep in mind verses, chapters 13 and 14, because in verse 8, Moses said, this is what he's saying, have you forgotten what happened when we came up out of Egypt to Kadesh Barnea? And we sent the 12 spies up into the land, and they looked it all over, and they came back. In fact, keep your place there and turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. And you see the report they brought back. It was unembellished, very simple report in chapter 13 of Numbers. And it says in verse 26 of Numbers 13, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel. Now these are the 12 spies, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. There's that great cluster of grapes from Eshcol. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Those are children of the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And here's good old Caleb. Caleb says, I'm encouraged. And I want to encourage you. You know, what does, if discourage means to dishearten, what does encourage mean? What does encourage mean? Well, it means to strengthen the heart. Come on, fellas. We can do it. Get your armor. Get your sword. Get ready. Get your canteen. Get some tucker to take with you. Let's go do it. Well, that's Caleb. Caleb says in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome them. But here is the discouragement. Now, had God promised them this land? Did God promise them that land? Yes or no? Did he tell them to go and possess it? Yes. So that was obviously the will of God. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So what did they do? Tell me what they did. They discouraged the congregation. You see in chapter 14 and verse 1, it says here, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we died in the land of Egypt, or would God we died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. I love to read through this because the contrast between the 10 spies, 10 were bad and 2 were good. Contrast between the 10 spies and Caleb and Joshua, the two faithful ones, is just so clear. Brother A.J. McClure has a sermon on this that we want to get and put, Brother Phil's got a copy of it, want to put on our classic sermons part of our sermon archive. And the title of the sermon is Giants for Breakfast. Giants for breakfast. That's what Caleb said. They are meat for us. You've got to hear A.J. McClure preach that. So, go back with me to chapter 32. In chapter 32, you'll notice in verse 8, Moses warns the Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh, be careful you don't discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Verse 8, thus did your fathers. This is what the 10 spies did when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged. There's that word. They discouraged the heart. Isn't that interesting? There's that word. Core and discourage and heart, discourage the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swears, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they've not wholly followed me. I want you to think about this. We don't know how many of the 2.5 million, we guess, Israelites that came out of Egypt were over 20 years old. But we would guess that probably fully 2/3 of them were over that. So let's suppose that there was 1.5 million Israelites whose hearts were discouraged by 10 men. And they said, we can't do it. We've got to go back. And for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness And it was a graveyard 40 years long. I figured up one time, I don't have it written in this Bible, but I figured up how many people you'd have to bury every day on the average over 40 years because 10 men discouraged their hearts. Hey, let me ask you, is it a serious thing to discourage someone from doing what God says in His Word? Is it a serious thing to discourage someone from believing the promises of God and acting on those? Is it serious? Or is it just the sort of thing, oh, it doesn't make any difference? That entire generation died off, and the only ones that were left when they came to the banks of the Jordan and Joshua, in the book of Joshua, the only ones that were left were those that had been 20 years old or younger in Numbers chapter 32 plus who? Joshua and Caleb. And they were about 80 and 85 years old, close to that. So the results. We see the consequences of that. Now, I'm really impressed with this because I want you to look in chapter 32 and verse 16. Moses lays it on the line and he says, if you do this, you will discourage the hearts of the people, and you are risen up in your father's place, and you will do to the nation what they did to the nation. But I want you to look in verse 16, because in verse 16, these people, the 2.5 tribes, and they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds for our cattle and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel, put us in the front of the battle, until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities, because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. That's impressive. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side, Jordan, or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side, Jordan, eastward. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, if you will encourage the Lord's people, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return, and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you've sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin, the sin of discouraging your brethren, will find you out. Now I need you to turn to one other passage and we'll close. Look in Joshua, chapter 22. We're almost to the end of Joshua. Chapter 24 finishes the book. And in chapter 22, from the very first of the chapter, we see these words where it tells us, chapter 22, verse 1, then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. And so these people of the 2.5 tribes said, we will not sin against our brethren by discouraging them. Did you know it's possible to discourage somebody in your family? That's what Colossians 3:21 warns fathers about. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So how we treat each other It is really important for us to encourage one another. Have you spent any time this week encouraging anyone? It is so important to encourage others. Now, when I have opportunity to speak again, I want to talk to you about the verses on encouragement and share with you some thoughts about Joshua and what happened in regard to his leadership of the nation, because he received so much encouragement. Do you go to anyone who teaches or preaches at church and say to them, "Thank you, you helped me. I learned something. I needed to hear that. You lifted me up. My heart is stronger because you told me that. You showed me that verse." Do you do that? Or do you say to someone, "He's not much of a preacher. I wish I didn't have to listen to him"? Or do you say that? I spoke to a preacher the other day that told me that it is awfully discouraging when he finishes a sermon for someone in the congregation to come up and tell him off for the sermon he preached. Wow. It's so vital for us to encourage one another. You maybe need encouragement. I hope I'm sensitive enough to encourage you tonight by treating you in a loving manner, being kind to you, do something for you. It was on my heart to ring Sarah Glover, and we got to talk, and I wanted, and she said, "You people at Grace Baptist Church are an enormous encouragement to us up here." She said, "For you to buy literature, to buy school material, curriculum, for us to teach our kids helps us no end." And I thought, well, boy, if we didn't do anything else this last year to pay for material, if Brother Floyd sent up material and we didn't even get to help this last time, I think we need to chip in and give Jubilee some money to help. So are you encouraging anyone? Is there anyone that you're lifting up? Let's not have Deuteronomy 32:23 be our life verse. Be sure your sin will find you out. Heavenly Father, we pray. Not flattery. We don't want anyone to flatter anyone. We're not looking toward buttering people up. But we do need to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We want to do that. We pray that you'd help us to remember that we're family members, and we need to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can lift each other up and help them be stronger, help their heart be stronger, and not put them down. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.